Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is We Talk Productions, presenting tonight Black Urban America, one of the fewest internet radio stations owned by Black folks that discuss solutions and issues concerning African Americans and people of color. On Monday, sorry about that. That came on a little bit inappropriately. On Monday nights, we have, on Saturday nights, we have Provocative Thought.
Hold it now.
Thank you. On Tuesday night, you have myself, Black Urban America. On the second Tuesday of every month, you have Ms. Ann Dillard discussing healthy relationships. Every third Tuesday of the month, we have T. Nathan, Calm Down, Let's Discuss Racism. And starting new this month, on the fourth Tuesday, we have Mr. Donald Sagams. Believe it or not, he is a black independent. He got out of the Republican Party and he ran for office independent. Been supporting this program from the beginning. And then on every Wednesday, we have Shaka Zulu with the elephant in the room who discuss Goliath Contra issues. Now, so far, what we'll be doing in the next month or two and try to get some of you entrepreneurs in on this to raise money for equipment, to have advertisement, to really monetize this program. We have a product, We Talk Productions. We have been consistent in discussing issues, controversial issues, is now to really bridge the gap between the financial brothers and sisters and with the communications and the politics. This is Third Tuesday, and we're going to have Nathan now. Sometimes we have a subject prepared, and sometimes when you come on, he might switch up on us. All right. So today we're supposed to be discussing abortion, but there's so much issues that come about. We have to discuss what's going on in that particular moment. If you are listening by laptop, you could dial 909-925-925. That's As I say, I don't know why I want to say this. Nine two six five nine two one five. That's 265-9215. Sorry about that. That was just a little elapse on the mind. Okay, this must be T Nathan.
What's up?
Hey, how you doing? Welcome again this month.
Yeah, good, good. Sorry, I was late, but I'm out here at this. We having a rally here in Mississippi on the Gulf Coast for the anti-abortion bills that have passed recently. Because you know Mississippi also signed into law an abortion bill that is just as horrendous as all the others in Alabama, Ohio, Missouri, and these places also that are
Missouri's in it now.
To choose. Excuse me?
Missouri is in it now, trying to sign a bill,
bill. They're not trying to sign bills. They are signing bills. These bills are going into effect, and they are restricting a woman's right to choose.
Uh-huh.
But they have such an overreaching meaning that people are not looking at. I mean, we're looking at the fact that these states, in the face of Roe versus Wade, are still deciding to buck established principle law. And they are passing these laws in spite of what the Supreme Court has done, and they are waiting for challenges to these laws so we can re-examine Roe versus Wade. But see, the overwhelming picture that people are missing is that if we start at this principle law that has been established by the Supreme Court, what is next? Will we get to Loving versus Virginia? Will we get to the Board of Education? Also, the Brown versus Board of Education. These laws are aimed at controlling women's bodies, but they're also a testing ground for how we're going to go forward with the federal court system and how it's been stacked by 45 going into it.
Why is such a change in attitude towards the women? I thought that was a strong bill.
It's not a shame.
I mean, there always been protesters and everything for people that's against abortion. There always been a protest. But I thought that they had a strong lobby system placed down there in D.C.
This is a long-term plan. This plan has been in effect. Mississippi passed a 15-week abortion ban a couple of years ago, and it was struck down. So why would they come back and pass a 6-week abortion ban? And it all goes towards the fact that we have watched two conservative jurists being appointed to the Supreme Court by 45. And so this is the time. This is the perfect storm for the assault on women's rights. This is the perfect storm because these states are willing to pass these bills and hoping that the Supreme Court picks it up under this new conservative majority and overturn Roe versus Wade. That's what we're looking at. That is the bigger picture that we're looking at on how to start overturning these laws. And in the process, I was talking to a young lady the other day, and she was like, this was not a fight for black women. Well, let me explain to you why this is a fight for all women. Even though white women as allies have been problematic in the past, but we deal with the fact that in Ohio, Missouri, Mississippi, and Georgia and Alabama, where these bills have been passed as these testing grounds, these states also have the highest mortality rate for mothers giving birth, for people of color especially. And so you look at it that, yes, these abortion bills are meant to address the declining white population in this country. But they're also meant to address the rising population of women of color by forcing them to carry to term babies that will be detrimental to their health and welfare. So you solve two birds with one stone because for white women, infant mortality rate is very low. But for women of color, it is 2 to 3 times higher in those states where these bills have been passed than it is for white women. So, and then just look, we're not even allowing exceptions These states have not even allowed exceptions for incest and rape in some cases. There was just a case in Michigan where a judge had to enter a state because he awarded joint custody of a child that was conceived by a product of rape of a 12-year-old because she went to get public assistance. And so they established a joint custody with the rapist's father who's in prison. These are the signs of things that show you how these bills are not about pro-life. They're just about pro-control of a woman's body. These bills are about making sure that The Handmaid's Tale doesn't just stay a piece of fiction as a classical work of fiction. These are things that are done now. And then you look at these bills are being, the proponents of these bills are white men, older white men. People with no uteruses are trying to tell women what to do. These same people that want less government intrusion in their taxes and their personal life, but they don't mind the government stepping in and telling a woman what she could do when it comes to her body and her reproductive system. Because at the end of the day, you could be pro-life personally, but as a government function, it has to be pro-choice. There's no people try to use religion. They try to use all these justifications for why they are on this horrendous tip. And none of them, they all pale in comparison because this is all about control. Control of a woman's body and control what she's able to do with her body.
I have a lot of, you know, what I read, I have a lot of black folks feel that they should get rid of abortion laws because it will, having these abortion laws will put a, how should I say, put a damper on women that want to have children.
This is a reproductive rights issue, and abortion falls under that. Because this is all about control of your body. Yeah, people don't realize that our reproductive rights issues are about how and when you decide to have a family. You can change your mind within a certain time period and decide that, you know, your circumstances have changed. And therefore, your access to legal safe abortion should not change because of that. Because what we have shown, even if you go back before Roe versus Wade, abortions will be performed in this country.
Yeah.
Now, we can just have a choice if we're going to make them safe or we're going to make them wire clothes hangers. But abortions will be performed in this country. And the thing about it is even this bill impacts lower class and minority women even more because it cuts off the access to abortions in those states. So now you have to either have the means or resources to go to another state and have an abortion, or you'll be forced to carry a child to term, or you will have to come up with some creative means that are more likely dangerous to you to terminate an abortion. Because these same people that talk about their pro-life and their anti-abortion, they don't care about a child after it's born. They care about fetuses. But when a child is born, they no more care about it than the proverbial, like my grandmother used to say, man in the moon. They don't.
Mm-hmm.
The programs that they have instituted show that they don't care about children. And as a matter of fact, the very same people that they were forced to have children, when these people become dependent upon a welfare system, they will criticize them and belittle them for doing that. But these are the same people that when families were separated at the border, since they were so pro-life, they were nowhere to be found when children were being separated from their parents at the border, at the southern border, as part of 45 immigration zero tolerance policy. Where are these people then? Where are these people when, if they're so pro-life, when police brutality is killing black and brown people at a disproportionate rate in this country? Where are they then? See, this is not about pro-life. I had this guy tell me, well, life is sacred and all life is precious. I say, well, you must don't eat anything that's living then. Because if that's the case, you're saying all life is precious, then you shouldn't eat meat. You shouldn't even eat green vegetables. You shouldn't eat anything that is alive then, because all life is precious. You know, we are getting these abortion bills that are called heartbeat bills, because some pulsating stem cells have decided to organize, and they have not even achieved sentiency or human form yet. But this is the thing. Use these same people. They're not advocating for child support to start at conception. They're not starting health care insurance at conception. They're not starting anything that is shown the indicativeness of a living child at conception. They just want to be able to force you to have a child against your will. And then you look at some of, like, say, there are no exceptions in some of these bills for incest, for rape. And then you look at the Ohio bill, and we're talking about pregnancies, tubal pregnancies, and the pregnancies where the fertilized egg is in the wrong place, a fallopian tube or something. And they're talking about, well, you can't even abort that. You must have it implanted, removed and implanted into the uterus. That is not even a scientific method for achieving some of these things that these politicians are going, bending themselves into pretzels about to try to make sure that abortion is outlawed in all cases. Then we have a politician going on the record saying things like consensual rape, like a politician in Alabama when he was talking about the bill. He's seen consensual rape. What? Newsflash. Rape is not a consensual act by the very nature of what it is. There is no consensual rape. There is no bright side to being raped, you know, and to force a woman that has been raped and assaulted to carry the child of her assault, the person who assaulted and raped her, is inhumane. It's inhumane to both the woman and the child that is a product of that environment. You have 12-year-old girls could be theoretically raped and be forced to carry a child to term. You know, just think about that. Let that sit in for a moment. That's how delusional and hateful these laws are, and how they show you that they are about controlling a woman's body way more than they are about caring about the life that is produced of that union. Because you don't do anything on the back end. Like I say, you have children now that are in the foster care system that no one cares about. These same pro-choice, pro-lifers, they don't care about the foster care system. They're not passing bills to, where were they when Tamron Rice was shot? Since they're so pro-life, they don't have that. They don't do the things that show you that this would be a deeper meaning. They're quoting their religion like that is some ultimatum that, okay, because God says so. God is the single most killer of people on this planet than anything else. So don't give me that. You know, I was looking at a stat, and they were talking about the number of births that are just spontaneously aborted by the mother's body. You know, so are you telling, and they have laws, Melinda was talking, and we were talking about how these laws are affecting in Ecuador, El Salvador, sorry, and they have women that are being locked up for having miscarriages. Miscarriages. They're being locked up because it's anti-abortion. So she must have done something to cause a miscarriage. And women have been miscarrying children ever since women have been carrying children. But these laws are designed specifically to control women. Even the women that, like in Alabama, the author of the sponsor of the bill was a woman, and Alabama has a female governor that signed it into law. These women are nothing more than womb bearers in the service to the white male supremacy and the patriarchy. Because you look at also at the majority, everyone who voted for this bill in Alabama Senate was a white man. And these are just issues that you cannot, let me tell you, Ken, if you want to start a revolution, this is what you do. You say that all males of sexual active age are forced to get a vasectomy until they are ready to have children.
Mm.
Yeah, that would not, you would talk about another revolution. Yes, we will burn capitals down before you let that. You don't even have to go that far. Just make masturbation illegal. Make masturbation illegal. Men will burn down a Capitol building before we let that happen. But you want to begin to say life begins at conception. Why not at the sperm? Why? And then we act like these bills are so one-sided because we're putting all the responsibility of reproduction on women, but then we want to take away their right to make the productive and the decisions, constructive decisions for their life over pregnancy. So how is it anything but control in that nature?
Well,
it's not.
How about on Capitol Hill? If you think this thing is going to be spreading and reaching Capitol Hill if it's not already?
It's already. Where do you think it comes from? It comes from the idea that the court is being sacked. You look at the fact that since 45 has been in office, he has appointed more federal judges than any other president since Ronald Reagan. And this is just in 2 years. Okay? Do you understand that 92% of those judges appointed are white? 92% of them are white, and 86% of them are male. Okay? We have no African American, no black, or one Hispanic, and an Asian. Do you understand that we're changing the composition of the court to a more conservative, which means white, way of thinking? So just think, what else will the court tackle and set aside? Roe v. Wade is the test. And after that, you will watch, if you look at some of the confirmation hearings when these judges that 45 has sent in for confirmation hearings, and they couldn't even answer a direct question, that did they think that Brown versus Board of Education was decided correctly? They couldn't even answer that. The case that dealt with segregation in schools, and they couldn't answer whether they thought it was judged correctly. So what else is on the chopping block? What other federal law that has been precedent by the Supreme Court will come under fire under this conservative leaning court? And then, like I say, you have federal judges. What if a federal judge didn't step into the Mississippi case and say that it was unconstitutional and therefore it has to be reviewed? And what if a state wasn't in it? Do you understand that Alabama passed a law and their abortion law that said that doctors who perform abortions can be given up to 99 years? Do you understand that's more time than child molesters and rapists get? Do you understand we are criminalizing women having abortions, but you're also criminalizing the women having miscarriages because you can say they were abortions. How far does this go? When do we get to that point where we say that every month a woman has to check in that she's had a period?
When do you think it will become that negative for women, right? Where they have to check in, like you got your little car and you go to, hold up now. You got a little car, like everything's computerized,
right?
Now. You got your little car, you punch it in, menstruation adequate. Or monthly period, okay. You know, and they go to wherever it goes, to the hospital or something.
Yeah.
You try to tell me it's going to be that much scrutiny over women's bodies.
Ken, you understand we live in a country where syphilis was given to black men under the Tuskegee experiment. Do you understand we live in a country that, and this is government, you understand we live in a country where sterilization of the mentally handicapped and retarded people was legal? Do you understand? I do not think anything
past
this country's ability to enact a horrible law and follow through with it with horrible measures. No, I don't. I don't. This is the country that tried to eliminate the Native Americans by putting smallpox in the blankets that they turned around and gave them as humanitarian
aid. They did eliminate the Native American population.
Yeah.
They're few and far between or mixed. That's the only way their bloodline will survive.
Has survived.
Thanks to
and
the Africans.
That's why I say that putting something beyond the scope of the government in its quest for its self-righteousness, yeah, no, I don't. I don't. I can see this happening. I can see the fact that I can even see to the point where we have pregnancy jails that women are put in these guilty cages while they're pregnant to make sure that they don't do anything to terminate that pregnancy. Yeah.
I thought that there are also people of color that came out with this theory that Planned Parenthood was set up in low-income areas to monitor our reproduction, that we were out, I can't say this, we were having more children than they were. And they became very concerned that their population numbers are dwindling. And other people of color, like blacks and Latinos, are growing. So we have these Planned Parenthood that say no. Just say no. And we're going to give you birth control. You got to go to counseling and what have you. A lot of theorists feel that way about Planned Parenthood.
Let me tell you something, Ken. Planned Parenthood has never came into anybody's house and drugged them out and gave them birth control. Planned Parenthood has never came to anybody and told them that they must get on birth control. They offer a service for people who go there. All right?
Right.
Establish that first. The funding by the government has been cut to Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood, what people don't understand, is not a one-trick pony. They're not just about aborting unwanted pregnancies. They provide birth control pills to some people who couldn't, their health care plans don't even cover them. Because some men don't understand that birth control pills have in some cases, are necessary for a woman to maintain and stabilize her period. Okay, they're not even about not getting pregnant. They're about certain eclampsias that are caused because women have heavy menstrual flows or other things. So the birth control pills balance in that hormonal situation. So Planned Parenthood also does cancer screening. You know, we want to talk about that. Planned Parenthood also talks to people who decide to have children and would like to plan their parenthood. So a lot of these talking points that you hear coming about Planned Parenthood come from a point of not knowing. You know, it's like I wish people would spend as much time talking about Susan B. Anthony and the women's suffrage movement as they do talking about the negative connotations of Planned Parenthood. Because at the end of the day, there are advantages taken of all these, but at the end of the day, Planned Parenthood is not Gestapo attacking anybody going in and saying, "Well, you must get on birth control or else." Like these anti-abortion bills are telling women that you will carry a child to term no matter what the circumstances are surrounding that child. So the two are there's a false equivalency talking about they're in our communities exclusively. Well, one of the things that most low-income communities need women's clinics because they don't have the resources to, like, some rich man's daughter who can afford to go somewhere and have prenatal care and have an abortion if she chooses. Because at the end of the day, let me tell you something about these abortion bills. Abortion in this country will not be illegal, even if they overturn Roe v. Wade, because there are going to be some states like California and other states that elect to keep abortion. And so as long as you have the means to go to those states and have an abortion, there's nothing they can do about that. It's going to negatively impact those people who do not have the means to go somewhere else and have the money to have an abortion. See, that's what you have to get people to understand. Yes, abortion will be legal in this country somewhere. But if you make it illegal in Mississippi, where I live, you know there's one abortion clinic in Mississippi. It's one clinic in Mississippi that provides abortions, and they do so about three times a week. And you have to go through a process, and it takes a week or two to get to that process before you can even be eligible for the abortion. So let this sink in. Mississippi's six-week abortion ban, heartbeat ban, usually occurs during the time when most women don't even know they're pregnant because they might have missed a week of their period. So by the time you find you are pregnant and you go to this abortion clinic and they do their screening and they do their compliances with federal law, it is past 6 weeks. And now you can't have an abortion under the present ban if they were enforced. See, so this is about control, plain and simple. This is about control. Because if you cared so much about children, you would have been screaming when 45's policies was leading to children being separated from their parents at the border. But you wasn't doing that. You were nowhere to be seen, nowhere to be heard. But you say you care about the sanctity of life. You don't care about the sanctity of life. You care about the control of the method that life is brought into this world. It's like the song by Tupac. He says, you know, women create life, and I have to leave that up to them when they decide to or when they decide not to. Because at the end of the day, there's no medical procedure that allows a man to carry a child to term. There's none. So we can jump up and down and tell women See, this is what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that women understand, especially white women, understand that white men don't care any more about them than they care about us. They just care about them as breeding stock for other white men. But see, white women have been tying their little red wagon to white supremacy in the hopes of getting benefits from that for so long. Now they're seeing that when you're in service to the patriarchy of white male supremacy, then there is no uncorrupted part of touching that or being a part of that. And they don't care about you. Look at the states where these bills are going to pass. You're talking about basically the same states as the Confederacy of 1860. You're talking about the same states. So what does that tell you? That tells you that this is going to have a deeper, longer meaning than, and I don't want to say like just abortion, but it's going to have more impact. This is just a start. This is a start. When we have more, I was looking at the fact that more people are outraged about the Jeopardy champion and how he's winning than most people in this country are upset about social justice issues until they're knocking on their door. And then if you're waiting to the point that some social justice issue comes knocking on your door, you might be in more trouble than you care to admit.
So,
and that is just the reality of the situation.
T. Nathan, what else we got to look out for besides these abortion issues?
We got to look out for the fact, I'm glad you segued into it. We got to look out for the fact that and since the Mueller report come out, right, and everyone that was telling me for 2 years that we didn't have to worry about 45 because once the Mueller report came out, he would be impeached. Well, I think we're going into what, 45 days since the Mueller report came out?
Yeah,
and,
something
like
that. I haven't
seen any articles of impeachment drawn up. As a matter of fact, all I have seen is that the executive branch of government of this country has proven how much of an illusion balance of power in this country is between three equal and separate parts of government. 45's administration has flaunted its disdainment for the legislative branch. It has sacked the judicial branch, and we have watched that. So I say that, and that is not even the issue. I don't even want to talk about the Mueller report and this illusion of impeachment that is still waiting to manifest itself. I want to talk about the fact that now these same people who were getting on to me when I told them that Mueller's report was not going to lead to a Watergate moment. But now this is what they're telling me. Oh, we got it. 2020, we're going to get rid of him and everybody, and we're going to do something different. No, you're not. No, you're not. I get on people all the time, and I tell them, this is the point where you need black people more than we need you, because what you don't understand under President, under 45's administration, is that things for people of color in this country have always been bad. We have adapted to it. See, the thing about it that causes up an uproar is that lower class and middle class white people are now experiencing what it's like to be second-class citizens when their taxes, they don't get as much of a bigger tax return as they anticipated. When we're flirting with war with a country that has no regard for bringing the war to the American border. See, we're doing those things, and now they're scared. And now they're telling us as people of color that, hey, what you need to do is we just going to pick a candidate from coming out the primary, and we all going to get behind him. We just got to get somebody that, because it can't get any worse. We just got to get rid of the 45. But let me explain something to you all from history, right? Before Hitler took power, came to power in Germany, Germany was in a bad situation. Bad situation. And that's why they picked Hitler. Because it can't get any worse. We know how that turned out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you say you can't get any worse. But see, you can. We can get worse. But we as people of color, this is our bullet or the ballot moment. This is the point where we have to step up, like Malcolm, when Malcolm talked about the bullet or the ballot. We have to take this moment to say, hey, if we are going to be relevant, we are not settling for anything less than total conciliation with instant work on reconciliation, okay? We're not going to sit by and...
I don't mean to cut you off, ma'am, but I got a question, and a lot of people be asking this. Can we anticipate, can we truly anticipate for America to make the same mistake, I'm not going to say it was a mistake, for America to make the same choice as reelecting this current president?
I don't see anything we're doing yet to prove anything differently.
Bernie.
I don't see anything we're doing differently.
I'm going to throw out some names. Bernie.
And I'm going to throw out some wives. Okay.
Joe.
Go ahead. What's first name?
Bernie.
1994 criminal crime bill. Won't ever get the support of anything. The three strikes, the crime bill from 1994, wind up incarcerating more black men than any other bill since. The three strikes are mandatory sentencing.
Corey.
Incentivizing
state. Corey Booker got his fingers in it. How about Corey?
Corey Booker. Corey has to break with Big Pharma. Corey has to come up with policy and plans that speak to the black community. And we're not going to support anybody that doesn't have a black agenda. No, this is our moment. And anything less
okay.
than that,
you're speaking
not
up the black agenda, right? How can you see now when you speak up the black agenda, we have so many different voices. All right, and some are militant, progressive, liberal, conservative. How do you think we can get these different black voices to the table like we did in the early 70s when we had a black convention?
First, when we put our egos aside and say we're doing something good for our
people. And I'm religious. Got to leave it outside the door. A lot of folks come in to the table with their religion. You know, I feel that we got to leave that religion at the door as well as the egos. And
yes,
we got
to
include all income levels, not just the affluent and the politicians and the high elite. We got to include the middle of the road and working class.
Let me tell you something, Ken. See, the point is that I think we had this conversation one time, and I said, everybody don't need to be at the table. Because then you get to the point where it's so many people at the table, no one's being heard because everybody's trying to talk. This is some basic key points that we need to address. See, I think we had a cut. I told you couldn't give me enough money as far as reparations to cover the pain and suffering of my ancestors. And that's a personal statement. But what we have to address is the wage gap in this country between people of color and white people, specifically black people, because our blood, sweat, tears went into making this country wealthy, and we have not shared in that wealth. And it's not about giving us a personal stake as more and more as creating communities and giving our communities the ability to be self-sustaining, to address this issue. Look at what Robert Smith did at Morehouse. These are the kind of things that we need to be looking into when we talk about reparations. These are the kind of things that we need to talk about eliminating the debt in the black community, to allow the black community to breathe without a hand around its throat. These are the things we need to be looking into. By addressing these issues, then we can address redlining, we can address all the historical points that have led to the disenfranchisement of black people. If we address those issues, that's what a black agenda is. It's not about one issue. It's about a series of issues that has caused a wealth gap in this country that is not narrowing but getting wider. See, we not Malcolm made a statement that you can't pull a knife that you have jabbed me with 9 inches deep and pull it out 3 inches and call that progress. See, this is that moment in history where we as people of color must hold the establishment to fulfilling its promise, not after we put them in office, but before we get behind you to help you rid yourself of your problem. See, we have to nominate people that, and people, and I tell people, I tell people and they say, well, we got to get somebody that could beat 45. So if you're telling me the same people that say whoever the Democratic nominee is for president, they're going to support them no matter who they are, and then you tell me you have to get somebody who can beat 45, what you are telling me is that you have to nominate somebody that can appeal to the same white racist base that 45 speaks to in order to win the presidency of the United States. That's what you're telling me. You're telling me that no matter who, Kamala Harris, Diane, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, whoever wins the nomination, you're telling me that that person also has to appeal to that 37% base that Donald Trump has locked in to win the presidency. And, Ken, how do you do that? You have to be a racist. You have to institute racist policy.
Basically, I mean, by electing this man, that's what this country is saying. And I've been trying to say this way before Obama got elected, you know, that this country, that we racism is still alive, and we still got to fight this racism. And that we as a people have the right. Well, basically, to me, my own perspective is that we'll never get out of this situation. We have to get out of this situation ourselves. Not only with the black agenda, with the black money too. You know, it was great for what Robert Smith did, but we got to do more of that ourselves. You know, we got to lift ourselves by our bootstraps. We got to start our own businesses. We got to be our own entrepreneurs. We have to see, why do you think the other cultures have police brutality? Why do you think the other cultures got to worry about police harassment? You know, because they got so much respect because their own money stay in their neighborhood, and they're not asking government for everything, for every toll. You know, we're the only ones that have to go to the city hall, state capitol, and White House, and ask for everything, and even ask, can we work on this, master? You know, to get approval to work on our own issue. But if you have your own
Ken,
you have your own money, then we can.
Ken, you got me on mute. You got me on mute, Ken, because you said a whole lot of things that wouldn't let me get a word in edgewise. So
why
I have to go
that?
Backwards now. I'm about to go backwards now. We have to go to the point that, Ken, we have a police brutality because of the color of our skin, regardless of our economics. When I drive my car, and I have a high-end car, when I drive that car, I still worry just as much about police pulling me over as a brother that is working at a grocery store driving a hoopty. Yes, it's not about our economics in that sense. It is about the color of our skin. Let's not put it anywhere. You talked about pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps. That would be fine, Ken, if we had some if we had some boots. See, we don't even have the boots. Yes, there are things we can do. Do not get it wrong. There are things we can do to assist ourselves in the development of our community. I agree with you 100%. But there are some things that are the essence of what government is about that all citizens should be able to look to. I don't want to say it's not about not doing it for us and doing it for others. It is about equity, not equality. It is about having access to the same government grants that people have to go to college that don't have to pay. It is about having access to the same small business loans that white businesses routinely get that black businesses have to act like they have to walk on water to get. So when you talk about the fact that our tax dollars go into the same pot that everybody else's tax dollars go, but they come out differently for us, then this is not about just us helping ourselves. This is about being sure that the promises made when those tax dollars were put into this pot for our communities is kept by those people that now have those tax dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about just pulling ourselves up, because if you want to understand something, since 1619, we have been doing just that, pulling ourselves up with nothing. We are here to our existence here today in 2019, 400 years after the first ship landed at Plymouth in Virginia, with those 20 Africans on it into slavery, is a testimony to the fact that we are survivors. The present situation that I keep telling people that is going on in this country and why black people are not as irate as some white people believe we should be right now is because we've been irate for our entire existence here. See, they are just getting it now. And now it's a sense of urgency because it's affecting them. And I'm telling my people that let's not get caught up in Master's sense of urgency and just give Master what he wants and still remain slaves. No, this is our bullet or the ballot moment. Either right now we unite with our problematic historical allies and we make sure we get something out of it also. We are no longer taking the promises of once you get in power, then we will listen to you and address your issues. Once you help us get rid of this person. No, we're not helping you get rid of this person until we can get behind somebody who's going to represent our interests. That's it. Because the system, if this doesn't work, the system is never going to work for us. It's never going to work for us, Ken. If we sit here and allow this moment. Excuse me? It hasn't. I'm not sure it hasn't. But we've never had a moment like this. We've never had a moment where they are now, and I'm not talking about all of them, because 37% of them are nothing but racist anyway. But we have a moment now where they are hurting, not to the degree that we have hurt, because they wouldn't be able to survive to the degree that we have been hurt, but they are hurting, and their discomfort is causing them some cognitive dissonance. And so now they want us to help them solve that cognitive dissonance. And now before we help you solve that cognitive dissonance, you are going to listen to us. And number one, we're striking off anybody who voted for the 1994, any criminal legislation, the three strikes, that includes Bernie Sanders, that includes anything to do with a Clinton, that includes Joe Biden. Criminal reform. No, if our platform is not part of your platform, then no. And I'm not talking about throwing us some change, talking about, we're going to give you a couple of million dollars.
We've been in this situation before, and we still got screwed.
When? When have we been in this situation?
The Obama's era. We still got screwed.
Oh, no. See, America was ready for a black president, and that's why we got President Obama. But if you look at the presidency of Donald J. John Trump, that is a direct relationship to the fact that we had 8 years of a black president, and we still had the same problems that we had coming out of that presidency as we had going into that presidency. The wealth gap in this country did not lessen. I'm not taking anything away from President Obama because he has just as much a right to get in there and be a president as any other white man. As a matter of fact, my nephew dressed in the wax museum at his school as President Obama, and I was able to say that until President Obama became president, anytime I told my nephews they could be anything in the world they want to, and they told me they could be president, I was lying to them. But now, yeah, we had a black president. You can be president. But it takes more than one election. It takes more than a couple of years to address the issues that we have with this country, because this is a problem that has been 400 years in the making, and one president out of 44, out of 45, is not the answer. See, we went into, and I was in Chicago, and I was in Chicago when President Obama got elected and caught up in the wave of hope, and we can change. And then a year later, I'm saying, what has changed? Police brutality still happening.
Got worse, to tell you the truth. Gap. It got worse.
You look at the fact, and like I say, I'm not dissing President Obama any more than I would diss any other president that I did think was a racist. I have a lot of racist presidents that I could diss, but I'm just saying that we the people, this is what happened during the first year of the Obama presidency, the first night. President Obama got right, black people lost their minds. They were like, oh, and white, liberal, progressive white people, they were like, it was like some magic wand had been waved, and now America was post-racial. Yeah, no. And we stopped doing the work that needed to be done in case President Obama wanted to do anything. We were thinking like he was like a Bagger Vance magic Negro, and they took a wand in the White House and waved it around, and now everything was going to be all right. That's not how democracy works. That's not how freedom works. That's not how liberation works. Liberation is not the responsibility of any one person. It is the responsibility of a group of oppressed people. And we started to think that we were no longer oppressed, and we're going to let the magic Negro handle everything for us. And that's not how it works. That is not how it works. And
with a couple of minutes left, where you going
to
be? Where you going to be fighting at?
Well, like I say, we're fighting in Mississippi right now. My bestie, Melinda Medina, is with me every step of the way.
I see that.
We are fighting for a different world. We're not just fighting for change. We're fighting for the total dismantlement of a system that has systematically kept us oppressed for over 400 years. We're fighting for a system that was born and bred in racism. We're fighting that every step of the way. These bills and everything that are coming out are products of symptoms of that problematic DNA woven into racism and sexism and oppression that is the basis of the colonizer system that we have
witnessed.
How's
things going on with the border?
The thing, we just had the fifth child die at the border from Guatemala.
I didn't hear that.
From a condition. Yeah, five children have died since December from Guatemala alone at the border from the flu, from sepsis, from conditions that with proper treatment in a first world country like the United States should have never been a problem or an issue. See, where are the pro-lifers now? Where are the pro-lifers when these children, when we're leaking out, the border conditions are not getting any better. We just don't, we are just a, America is just caught up in the moment of we talk about the newest it issue of deflection, and then we forget the issues that we were addressing in the past. So, no, it's not gotten any better at the border. We're still dealing with family separation. We're still dealing with inhumane conditions. We're still dealing with the same issues during every day of this presidency that we have been dealing with since the beginning. They say it's a crisis at a border. It's a humanitarian crisis of our creation. And if we spent as much time and energy into solving that problem as we put into what women do with their fetuses, with their bodies, we could have been solved this problem.
Well, that's another discussion for another month.
Next month.
I really appreciate you coming on every third Tuesday of the month. We're not going to have Melinda and Reggie, but you can have them busy. You have them going all over the place.
Yeah, we'd be all over the place. It's like I say, I just have the ability to come on with you all the time. And like I say, Reginald is also working on his doctorate degree. and has class also. He's working on his doctorate degree. And Melinda has children. You have to keep that into mind. She has children. So, and I do have her all over the place also. But we do what we do. Each of us do what we can. Reginald, I would love the simulcast, the Keep Calm, Let's Discuss Racism event we had in Hattiesburg last month at USM. We had a panel discussion that we facilitated
on
there.
On Monday? You got to let me know these things like a week ahead. I could have had that on the radio.
Yeah, I would have loved to have had that. I thought about it after the fact. I was like, well, it wasn't our week, and I didn't want to cut in. And then next week, we're going
man,
to...
Man, I don't care, man. Just give me a week's notice. That's all I need I can fix my
schedule. Well, I'll tell you. Next month, the 19th, we're going to Minnesota to a climate change reality project.
Yeah, that's what we got to get into. That climate change thing, we really got to get our fingers in there, you know, because that affects everyone, whether you're black or white or Latino. We got to look at the things. That there are some environmental issues that's also in black communities that we're going to have to deal with and nobody knows. So this affects
all. That's what I was going to tell you. Climate change is a racial issue because when you look at what's going to be vastly affected by climate change, you're going to look at communities of color that are impacted in regions where they don't have the resources to move. Okay?
Okay.
So climate change is also
a racial issue. Well, message me the information so I can put it on the board, and so I can. It's gonna be morning or evening.
It's gonna be a 3-day event. It's a 3-day event, and we'll talk about we can recap it. And,
okay.
We'll talk about it
once
I get the new schedule. Yeah, I keep you abreast. All right. So.
All right, my brother.
Thank you. All right,
talk
to y'all later. Peace.
All right.